whether or not Mitkoff Island could provide enough timber to support existing small businesses and also attract some new ones depends in part on their scale. That's according to Petersburg District Ranger Jason Anderson, who fielded questions about what a Mitkoff timber sale program could look like. Anderson was confident the island could continue to support the kind of one- or two-person milling and firewood services that now operate. However, according to Anderson, a larger mill needing millions of board feet a year would have to draw from other parts of the Tongass.
Those are business decisions that those operators have to make. So as far as capacity, it's not really a simple question because it's really based upon what those industry operators' markets are, what their objectives are, how much they want to do, what kind of milling operations they're going to try and get into business with or maintain if they have a business now. And ultimately, it's the question about capacity for me is most relevant to what's suitable and available based upon all of the various politics and policies of managing the timber resource on public lands.
Tongass lands on Mitkoff have been logged for decades with a road system constructed throughout most of the island. At the same time, the state has long restricted the deer season and harvest limit because of low numbers. So for several people at the meeting, like fisherman Eric Lee, the first priority for Mitkoff was preservation of the remaining low elevation stands of large old trees that help deer survive the winters.
I'm concerned about deer winter range and the amount of winter ranges left on this island is not really even enough to supply an adequate number of deer for our local subsistence use. And now the Forest Service is considering cutting more. I just don't get it, you know. Whatever there's going to be cut on this island has to be extremely small, in my opinion.
Lee suggested the agency take a new approach and encourage the selective logging of high-quality trees for making musical instruments. Lee asserted that a few music wood trees could be as valuable as a whole hillside of clear-cut timber. Fisherman Dave Beebe echoed the deer habitat concern, saying he'd like to see a no-net loss policy for winter range. Beebe was critical of the Forest Service's stewardship contracting policy, which uses revenue from new timber sales to fund restoration work on old ones.
One thing that's pretty clear here is that if stewardship contracting is going to require funding from old growth clear cutting, what we really have here is a fatally flawed program that is not sustainable and it's very clear that we're not going to get our deer back, not for a long, long time. And we've waited a long, long time.
Around 20 local residents, including several Forest Service officials, took part in the meeting, which also included discussion of stewardship plans for Mitkoff and Kuprinoff Island's Lindenberg Peninsula across the Wrangell Narrows from Petersburg. Logging there is already underway on the Tonka Timber Sale Project. The agency plans to use revenue from that large sale to do some tree thinning work aimed at improving deer habitat on several hundred acres in the Lindenberg-Mitkoff areas. Some of the money will also go towards repairing some stream culverts that block fish passage. Like Mitkoff, Lindenberg has also been heavily logged and roaded in the past. The State Board of Game just put the area under the same hunting restrictions already in place for Mitkoff. One challenge for District Ranger Anderson was how to avoid key deer habitat while also supplying some wood to small businesses.
A lot of that land base that is outside of the winter range, that is away from the roads, is probably not operable to most of your small-scale operators. So if the intent is to try and provide opportunities for industry without impacting your lower elevation deer winter range, how do you get the infrastructure into that higher elevation, less valuable range and still make for economic small sales?
Anderson suggested one option would be to build additional roads to those areas. However, because of those costs, according to Anderson, the project is likely to impact some deer winter range. The agency is also looking at the possibility of harvesting some salvage and second growth trees. Anderson couldn't yet say how much timber will be offered on Mitkoff and whether the project would require an environmental impact statement or a less extensive environmental assessment. Anderson said his gut feeling was that it would be the latter, an EA.
My sense is, just based upon the criteria we've talked about, the very real awareness of the concerns over deer habitat on this island, that we're not proposing a significant timber harvest activity on this island. The volume may be high, but the idea would be long-term, metered out over small sales. The volume may not be high. We don't know yet.
Mike Bell, who used to log in the area, liked the idea of offering timber over a longer term.
I really believe there should be and could be a number of small operators on this island, and the key to that is consistency in supply. And that was the biggest problem, I think, in the past was, you know, like 15 years ago, there was still a number of guys plugging away here, and then it just all dried up. And, you know, and they thought they had a pretty good quality of life, mm-hmm. you know, at the time, and it was gone.
A key question for some in the room was whether a consistent timber supply had to come at the expense of other users, like hunters. Retired mechanic Dave Randrup asked District Ranger Anderson about sustainability for deer.
Somehow the values for our deer and its habitat have been loaded to, downgraded to just viability. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And is that just part of the trade-off?
I think it is, yeah. I mean, ultimately, just based upon all of the various constraints that have yielded over the years, that, you know, the baseline is that we have to maintain viable populations. That's a requirement in public law.
Forest Service silviculturist Ben Case said he was attending the meeting as a private citizen, and he acknowledged that young growth stands don't provide a lot of deer winter range and heavy snow. However, Case said that with some management, second growth can eventually provide some habitat again after reaching a certain age. He maintained that there was value in having a variety of different logging prescriptions and land use designations on the Tongass.
I mean, it's not just a wood pile on the chopping block, and a lot of those old young growth stands are coming back. I'd do more field trips if you're interested this year, and there's other areas I've been, you know, involved with in an inventory recently. And these stands are not deserts out there biologically. Yeah, there's places that will improve and will need improvement through treatments, but I think we're kind of missing that. That's what I'm hearing, is this lack of credit for a diversity out there on the landscape.
Forest Service officials are hoping to put out a formal proposal for the Mitkoff Island Small Sales Project sometime this summer. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.